Comic Conversation guys, and do again highly recommend that podcast if you're into comics.
I really love Marvel.
Comic Conversations.
It's awesome.
With your host,
the wickedly talented
Fat Man.
Frank Miller had a horseshoe up his ass. I pulled that sumbitch out, and I beat him over the head with it.
Luro.
I'm going to drink a Coors Light. That's a Coors Light because Bud Light won't pay me nothing.
And Marvel 2K.
I'm going to sit down with my friends and family. And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is Fat Man, and you're listening to episode 100 of Comic Conversations here exclusively on Wait for it.
Halfguarded.com. Halfguarded.com.
I am Fat Man, and I am joined as always by my co-hosts, Marvel2K and Luro. Luro, how you doing this fine evening?
America. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I... Did I ever tell you a story about the time I saw grown men cry and take off their hats while that song was playing?
No, you did not.
Yeah, it made me just hate my country, and I normally don't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was terrible.
And Marvel 2K!
I'm fucking hyped!
You don't get hyped, you stay hyped?
I stay hyped.
Nice. All right. With that all out of the way, let's go into our first segment. As always, news. Seriously, we have tons and tons and tons of news. It was like the entire comic book industry took notice that we were doing our 100th show, our first show on halfguarded.com, and they decided to just do a boatload of freaking news this week. Comic book and movie. Actually, not movie. Yeah, no, not really movie. TV related. Let's open it with the TV news. Let's get that out of the way. The first of which being the second season of Daredevil will be a season-long storyline of Punisher versus Daredevil.
I think that's good.
That's the rumor.
Mm-hmm. That's the rumor. They said he was going to be more than one episode, so he's going to be recurring.
Oh.
I don't know if it's going to be the entire season.
Because when we did a rundown of news, that's what you guys brought up, and I just assume, I'm out of the loop when it comes to TV, so I just assume that's what it was.
The shame of that is, though, since it's a Daredevil show, that means it has to end with Daredevil winning, right?
In a manner, yeah. Well, I mean, it depends, I guess, on how the storyline... Maybe they unite to fight against somebody and ends up with Punisher leaving the city or some crap.
Are you going
to
cry, Laurel?
He shoots him and then leaves.
Are you going to cry, Laurel, when your boy does the J-O-B?
Yes. Yes, there are so many good Punisher Daredevil stories that they can take from that would work on TV. That I hope they adapt some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So those two are awesome together.
Yes. All right, let's move on to our second news story. I know we previewed it a while back that Marvel was going to release that preview comic that had a bunch of stuff that it's going to be post-Secret Wars. It's the all-new, all-different Marvel. I didn't realize how much stuff they were going to preview slash give away. They pretty much gave away most of their titles post-Secret Wars as well as all of the creative teams as well as
the covers.
Yes.
And we've got them all, and we're going to go through them.
Yes.
We're not going to talk about all these, but I'm going to mention all of them. We Carnage number one, Jerry Conway, Mike Perkins art. No interest whatsoever.
Yeah, don't care.
I'm sure it sold well enough when they did that Axis that's why probably they're doing it.
Venom Space Knight number one.
Mm-hmm.
Robbie Thompson writing. Ariel Olivetti drawing. I like the artist. I'm not going to read that.
Maybe I'll read the first issue, but I don't know. I don't care enough.
And then we've got Ultimates number one, which appears to... It has nothing to do with Ultimates. It appears to be a continuation of Mighty Avengers.
They got Galactus on the team.
Yeah, and the team is apparently Galactus... Photon, what's her name now?
Spectrum.
Black Panther.
Ooh, awesome.
What's this, Blue Marvel?
Yeah, Blue Marvel.
Miss America. And the token white broad is Captain Marvel.
Yes.
We have Web Warriors by Mike Costa and art by David Baldion. Now, I was not excited about that until I saw the cover, and this is the,
Spider-Verse. characters.
Yeah, this is the Spider-Verse characters. This team of Spider-Man India, Spider-Ham, Spider-Gwen, Spider-Man Noir, Spider-Man UK,
mm-hmm.
and Spider-Girl, the black and white costume one. And it says the tagline is Defending the Spider-Verse. I'm actually excited about that, mainly because we've already established that Spider-Man Noir is kind of a racist.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's funny that he's going to be on a team with this Swami and these females. We have Spider-Man 2099. Peter David, Will Silney, same artist, same writer.
Still hyped.
new costume, which I don't like as much.
And apparently he's back in the future.
Awesome. Yep.
Well, that's what the cover looks like. Spider-Woman number one, Dennis Hopeless writing, Javier Rodriguez drawing. Spider-Woman is pregnant. That's the gimmick. The tagline is parent by day, hero by night.
I'm confused.
Well, she got knocked up at some point.
Are then we have, who's the father now?
We have Daredevil number one, Charles Soule, Ron Garney on art. Charles Soule, Daredevil. He has an apprentice, which people think is Gambit.
It looks like Gambit.
Because he has a stick and a mask.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't actually know if that's Gambit or not.
It could just be some random guy who just looks similar.
I hope it's not Gambit, because Gambit in solo titles is a proven failure repeatedly.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, maybe they'll change his name. Then we have the Howling Commandos of S.H.I.E.L.D. Frank Barber is writing. Isn't he... Why is his name familiar?
I know the name.
I'm sure we read recently something from him, yeah.
Brent Shunuv is the artist, and this is Dum Dum Dugan with Kid Abomination, Man-Thing, Werewolf by Night. I don't know who the Marvel Loch Ness Monster is. It's Dum Dum Dugan leading a S.H.I.E.L.D. team of monsters.
Yes.
So that's...
I don't care.
I'm going to read this. This has potential for humor. We have Amazing Spider-Man number one, Dan Slott, Giuseppe
Camuncoli.
Spider-Man's new costume is terrible.
Yeah. As well as his, sort of what our next news story is, the spider car, apparently.
Well, yeah, he's got a spider car.
Yeah, we're still going to be talking to, you know, the other comics, but I just thought that's another thing we were going to talk about, too.
Spider-Man number one, Brian Michael Bendis, and my friend Sarah Pacelli doing art.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is the Miles book, but yes. He's in 616 now.
Mm-hmm.
I will attempt to read this, because the art is going to be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And Bendis did write a very Spider-Man for a long period of time.
Okay.
So, Ant-Man number one, Nick Spencer.
Glad to see he's still on that book.
Ramon Rosanas. Yeah, it's the same. Except it shows him, standing in front of a bunch of villains on the cover.
Whirlwind, the Beetle, the new Beetle.
The new Beetle.
What's that, Grizzly Man or the Bruin or whatever his name is? And, who's that one guy?
I don't know who that other guy is.
Yeah, I don't know who that is. I'm not sure.
And there's someone big in the back.
Maybe
he's gonna hire all, all supervillains to work for him.
It could.
That'd be fine.
Actually, you see him in the cover. He's got his fingers crossed behind his back.
Okay, then we have Silk number one, Sam Create. A book that does not need a number one, but whatever. Uncanny Avengers number one.
And they're teasing that she's the bad guy in that one too. It says a sinister stuff.
Yeah, but you never know. Uncanny Avengers number one, I don't have a creative team on the cover here. But I know there is.
It is, Gary Duggan. You said Uncanny Avengers, correct?
Yes.
Gary Duggan.
I think that's the one right below it. Cause that one doesn't have it on the cover either.
I'm looking at Mapro posted on the board. It says right here, Gary, Duggan.
Well, yeah, but I'm looking at the cover thing, and it doesn't show.
Well, it appears that Spider-Man, is that Brother Voodoo?
Yeah, because he was already on the team.
And then is that Marvel Boy or Silver?
I think that's Quicksilver.
Yeah, that's Quicksilver. Okay. He has the little fast forward thing on his chest, which I'm not a fan
Quicksilver
of.
Quicksilver and a chick.
Oh, that's isn't that Phantom X as a chick or something?
Is it?
I think so. Or
okay. Well, something else. Not the most overwhelming team, but okay, it's kind of failing me now. There's a book with Deadpool, Torch, Rogue, and Steve. Oh, wait, no, okay. They are all on the team of the Uncanny Avengers. It's a two-page
cover. Okay, that's the confusion then, okay.
Yeah, okay, so Rogue, Human Torch, Deadpool, and Old Steve are also on that team. It's a little more interesting. We have all-new Wolverine, Tom Taylor writing, David Lopez doing art. That is X-23 Wolverine.
Yep.
Uncanny X-Men number 1, Colin Bunn and Greg Land. Oh, Christ. This team is Phantom X, apparently Magneto, Sabretooth, Psylocke, and Mystique.
Oh, by the
way, I like Phantom X, so I'm gonna try it.
Oh, the, that one chick on the, other cover, I think that's, I guess that must be some Inhuman that we've never seen before.
Oh.
Yeah, cause this is Fighting for Humanity, Inhumanity, Mutants, and Deadpool. So.
Then,
I like that.
All new X-Men, Dennis Hopeless, Mark Bagley. Here's the deal with this one. They're putting Bagley on it. So I think this book is going to be good. It appears to be about the young X-Men. They're in an X-branded VW bug, like the fucking Mystery Machine.
That's awesome.
So the young X-Men going on adventures along with X-23. I want to read that. I want to try that.
Mm-hmm.
Extraordinary X-Men number 1. This is the big one. It's got Jeff Lemire writing and, Humberto Ramos doing art.
Mm-hmm.
It is Old Man Logan, Storm, Magic Boo, Young Jean Grey, Nightcrawler, and, Iceman and older guy. Colossus has a goatee.
Yeah.
But I like Jeff Lemire. Ramos is good when he can rein in his cartoony garbage. Looking forward to that. Then we have Old Man Logan, who gets a solo title.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Lemire, again, writing. And Andrea Sorrentino, who off the top of my head, I don't know.
I don't know who that is. I've never heard the name.
Nova number 1, Sean Ryan, Corey Smith, and Ramos is doing covers. Is that the current creative team?
I don't know. I read the book, but I never really pay attention. As
well, the gimmick of this one is Nova's going to be with his dad.
Yeah, it's father and son. Father and son.
That's cute.
Hawkeye number 1, and this cover shows a change. Same, it's Flamire and Perez. It's the same writer-artist combo, but they're labeling it Hawkeye versus Hawkeye, and on the cover is Kate,
mm-hmm.
and behind her is old Hawkeye.
It could be somebody else too, but I'm sure it's
Hawkeye. Well, it says Hawkeye versus Hawkeye.
Yeah, but what if it's one of those misleading covers and that's not real? I mean, it could very well be Hawkeye.
And I'm very excited. Warren Ellis.
Yay!
Gerardo Zaffino doing Karnak number 1. Karnak getting his own book. Yay! I'm very excited for that. New Avengers number 1, Al Ewing. Gerardo Sandoval. Again, this is Sunspot's AIM Avengers. Team of Avengers.
Yep.
Which includes Hawkeye, who looks young.
Mm-hmm.
Moonstone, Wiccan, Hulkling, and Squirrel Girl.
Yep.
And Sunspot. I have to read that just to... Like, why would you let Squirrel Girl on the team?
That's a hell of a lineup.
Why wouldn't you? Yeah. That's the real question.
Illuminati number 1. Josh Williamson, Sean Crystal doing art. This is, what's his name? The Hood?
Yeah, The Hood.
Yeah, The Hood. This is a villain book.
Aww.
I don't know how that's gonna be, but
there's Absorbing Man. In the background, there's, I think that's, his woman. What's her name? Tara, I can't remember her name. Some small guy. I don't know.
I can't see. The picture's really, small in the thing I'm looking at.
Yeah.
But yeah, a book focused on villains. Then we have Sam Wilson, Captain America, Nick Spencer,
Awesome. That's a shocker, if anything.
Yeah, and the tagline is, who do you stand with? Do you sport Old Man Steve or Sam? And I obviously sport Old Man Steve. Because Falcon.
Team Sam or Team Steve?
Star number one, Sam Humphries. They don't even say who the writer or the artist is. Fell out of love with that book, so.
Feels like the first time, feels like the very first time.
Yes, they're referencing a song because of the movie. And then we have Guardians of the Galaxy number one. The big change is apparently Rocket Raccoon is in charge and Thing is on the team.
Sounds like fun.
I'll keep reading. I don't know why I wouldn't. A Scarlet Witch book with James Robinson.
Woo!
No artist announced. No information on the book. Her costume's different.
Yeah.
I'm not, yeah.
Miss Marvel number one, same artist, same writer. Lockjaw is on the cover. Spider-Gwen number one, same artist, same writer. Yeah, Drax number one.
And that one where it says The Secret History of Gwen Stacy and Peter Parker.
Yeah, they probably should have done that before that one issue. Drax number one, which was a big deal, that was the CM Punk book.
Correct.
With Ed McGuinness doing art. But as I look at this, it's CM Punk with Colin Bunn. So I think I know who's really writing this. And Ed McGuinness, it just says, is doing covers. It's cover artist, but that may be a mistake. But it shows Drax in the IFC, the Galactic Fight Club.
That's kind of cute.
And tagline, best in the galaxy. They're being very cute with this. Angela, Asgard's assassin. Angela is now working for Hell. Marguerite Bennett. New writer because of something we will discuss in our next news item. And then it's got two artists listed, so we'll see how that is. The greatest cover is Howard the Duck number one. It's the same artist, the same creative team. It just says Howard the Duck number one, and then under it, yes, again. And then the cover is Howard standing surrounded by a bunch of hats and saying, really? And then in the tagline it says, Howard gets a new hat. Howard the Duck not changing after Secret Wars.
You
guys
have
only at issue four.
Yeah, that's why they put the tagline in again. Number one, really?
Yeah, yeah, they know it's stupid.
Oh, here's a little interesting factoid. Do you guys have the cover in front of you?
Yeah.
Do you notice one of the helmets is Gizmo Duck's hat?
Yeah, I brought that up to
I marked out for that.
There's Jughead Sting, there's Crocodile Dundee, and
a hat with ice cream in it, I got at baseball stadium.
Yeah, that was, they used to sell those at Baskin-Robbins.
Okay, Deadpool number one, Duggan is writing, and Mike Hawthorne's doing art. I don't need more Deadpool. Squadron Supreme, Robinson, Leonard Kirk doing art.
Yeah, we did that.
Alex
week.
Ross is doing the covers, so.
Nice.
That means they think something of this. I hope it's good. I'm really hoping it's good. And the gimmick is they are all survivors from their destroyed worlds.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's good. Mighty Thor number one, it's same artist and writer. And they're really pushing the Jane cancer. Is Thor.
Yeah, what's the tagline on that again? Something, it has something to do with the fact that she died.
The flesh may be weak, but the thunder is strong.
There we go.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. number one, Mark Guggenheim. It's got a really weird cover.
It's like a Hydra maze looking thing.
Coulson making out with a Hydra ghost thing. Yeah, we're not going to be reading that.
Yeah.
Vision number one, Tom King, Gabriel Walta. Now, I was not excited about the creative team, but the gimmick for this is really interesting. It's where Vision decides he needs a family, so he makes his own family.
That's kind of creepy.
Which is, it is, but I want to read that because that's an interesting gimmick. Uncanny Inhumans, Charles Soule, Steve McNiven doing art. So, you know, their new name writer and name artist.
Awesome.
Excited about that.
Is that Beast on the cover, or is that somebody just looks like Beast?
That's, I believe that's Beast. Because the rumor was Beast was joining the Inhumans.
For reasons.
For reasons, yeah.
Same with Johnny Storm.
Well, he's probably banging Crystal again. That's my
good for him.
Contest of Champions.
Ooh,
number
that's,
one.
That's the big one in all this.
Al Ewing, Paco Medina. Mm-hmm. Apparently the Maestro is gathering we can only assume because Contest of Champions. Maestro is gathering superheroes together and having them fight.
Interesting.
Al Ewing is good. So I'm okay.
I love that one annual Avengers he did with Hyperion. Oh, that was like, I don't know if it legit was my book of the year or at least a contender for book of the year last year.
It was my book of the year until Pax Americana came out. So. Captain Marvel number one. I'm not gonna read it.
Don't care. Nobody ever buys it.
I may give it a shot if it gets good reviews.
Doctor Strange, Jason Aaron, Bacalo, we already talked about that.
Yeah.
He is holding an axe on the cover though.
Yes.
All new, all different Avengers. This is a big one. Mark Waid, Adam Kubert, Mahmoud Asrar, who, we put over at one point for being very good.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Ross, cover.
The team is Miles, Vision, female Thor, Sam Wilson, Kamala, Nova, Iron Man. So, three young kids.
Young boys.
Well, two young boys and one young girl.
And the tagline is Earth's most dedicated heroes. They crossed out mightiest because they are not.
Hmm.
A-Force number one, that's the female Avengers team. Our girl G. Willow Wilson is writing, no artist announced. Totally Awesome Hulk number one, Greg Pak and Frank Cho doing art.
Love that name.
And that's all of them. That's everything we got now.
Yes.
What's missing from this?
A lot of people, actually.
We
noticed just
Punisher.
Going over. Yeah, we noticed Punisher's gone, and then we're looking
Silver
over the list.
Surfer.
Yeah, that's the big one.
Daredevil's there. Anyway.
Punisher, Silver Surfer. Those are the two that stood out to me.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of any other ones off the top of my head. I'm sure there are some.
There's got to be some, but yeah, none of them are really coming to the mind right now.
No Squirrel Girl.
Well, she's on a team though.
Yeah, but still, freaking Logan is on.
This
a
may
team.
Not be
he's
part of all new, all different Avengers. I remember, they've done this a bunch of times. The biggest time I can think to compare this to was the Marvel Now thing, and even still, they had a couple of books that weren't all new, all different, or at the time Marvel Now books, but they were still. You know, still coming out. They're still part of. I think these are just they're renumbering, if not completely new titles.
You know.
I think Squirrel
Girl's
going to continue. I think Silver Surfer's going to continue. And
you know
have
what
its
else
original
is
number.
Missing?
What?
The entire Richards family.
Oh yeah, no Fantastic Four. No Fantastic Four.
No. Thing is in Guardians, and Human Torch is in Humans,
mm-hmm.
But no Reed, no Valeria, no Franklin, no Sue. They appear nowhere. So, theory, they're going to bring them back, and when they bring them back, they'll bring Silver Surfer back. They're going to bring Punisher back, and he's on Daredevil. So, they wait until he's on Daredevil, like one episode, and people are like, oh, Punisher's really cool, and then they do a new number one.
Maybe. I'm personally of the opinion that a lot of these titles, like Silver Surfer, are just going to continue. And they're just going to, continue with their numbers and not just renumber.
I think Silver Surfer's going to end its storyline.
I was thinking about that, and I was like, well, where else do they go from here?
Well, he's at an ending point right now. Like, him and Dawn are together. He found that group of people, their own home.
Mm-hmm.
Galactus, not a threat. I mean, he kind of wrapped up the story, but it's still going on for another issue.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're doing the crossover with,
And also the world they're on all these books already ended.
Mm-hmm.
So
now that we left off, characters and titles that are being left out on this, let's talk creators that are being left out of this. No Hickman, but we kind of knew that after Secret Wars, he was going to take some time off. The big one, which initially he announced that he was just going to take some time off. But it became he's officially just leaving Marvel Comics. It is Rick Remender.
Yep.
To which we respond.
Well, this calls for a celebration. Celebrate good times. Come on. I will.
I hate Remainder and Marvel. Mafro will get upset with me. Oh, but X-Force. You know what? X-Force was a long time ago.
Exactly.
And it was really good. Mm-hmm. It was really good. Axis was shit. And I have to preface this because Marvel liked most of this stuff, but I thought it was shit. Uncanny Avengers was shit. Axis was shit. His Captain America was shit.
Jet Black, you keep referencing to when we talk offline.
Fucking, he made a character Jet Black, and she was a core character in the book. His run on Captain America featured fucking Cap in Dimension Z, hanging out with his before unknown son.
They had more to than just that arc. You know that, right?
And that was a number one.
And he did the Falcon one too. The Falcon one was good.
The Falcon one, which I read one issue of and didn't like, so.
No, yeah. Batman liked it. He didn't, cause remember,
it was okay.
Did you keep reading it?
No. No.
He did.
No, fuck it. He's leaving? What? His Uncanny Avengers somehow got a crossover despite big things happening in it that were rarely referenced in any other book.
Uh-huh.
It was like they were like, okay, Remainder, you could have this own little corner of your universe that, you know, people aren't overly interested in, and you can do whatever you want. And then you could do Axis, and it was shit, and it didn't matter.
Hey,
so
with that all said, you like Low, and I like Deadly Class, and Marvel likes Deadly Class. So this isn't, you know, this completely take a dump on Remainder.
No.
It's just his Marvel stuff is
Marvel,
not that great.
He's fine.
Yes.
But in Marvel, I hate him, and I'm glad he's gone. Now, also gone is Kieran Gillen, who will not be around to make characters gay anymore. Isn't that his gimmick? I like him. I liked Angela. He made me like a book about Angela.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe he wrote something else that we all liked. I can't remember what it is off the top of my head.
Vader?
But he did write something else. Yeah, he writes Vader.
Yeah.
Vader's ending, I guess.
Yeah, Vader's a 7-part series, so what was this week, number 6?
Oh, it ended, no, this was 7, this is the last issue?
No, I think this was 6, I think it ends at 7.
Oh, I thought it was 7, my bad. Okay. Yeah, so Gillen's gone too. Now, they're not gone. Like, Hickman didn't say, I'm gonna go work for DC, he basically said, I've been writing the same fucking story for 3.5 years.
Take some time off.
Some would say, you know, since Fantastic Four, he's been writing the same story. He's just taking time off.
Oh, it was 7, by the way. It was Vader 7. I guess it was 8. I don't know, because I know they kept extending.
Wasn't that the one that got an extension? I remember one of these Star Wars titles got an extension past their original.
Yeah, this one I know for sure.
Okay.
I guess
okay.
Maybe it's ending 8. I don't know.
Yeah, but he's gone at least temporarily. I haven't read anything from him. I hope he comes back. I like him. I hope Hickman comes back. I hope Remainder keeps the creator.
If I can fantasy book just a little bit, conspicuous is Fantastic Four is gone, and Hickman's taking some time off. Huh?
He's gonna come.
He already wrote it.
He might come back with it. Who else?
You know what?
You need someone who's, you know, when they bring it back, they need a good writer on that. And who else but Hickman, who had that fantastic run of the book?
You know what's disappointing about this lineup? Where are the new writers? Like, where are the name writers they picked up? Why is Greg Rucka not writing?
Yeah.
Why did they not get Grant Morrison since he appears to be done with DC?
I think they're trying to go cheap now. Like, they obviously got some names, but they didn't get, you know, they didn't get the bigger names, and they didn't get new people, so.
There seem to be a few names here I don't recognize, so.
Garth Ennis? He's obviously willing to work with them. Like, there are names out there who would sell books that they have not got.
Mm-hmm.
They got Ellis to do an ongoing. That's, you know, that's something. But I mean, who's to say that Karnak won't be like Moon Knight and he'll write it for 6 issues and it'll be really good and then even they'll give it to Brian Wood, who is also not on any books.
No.
So, well, maybe that's because Ellis hasn't said he's leaving.
Yeah, he's eagerly anticipating Ellis leaving Karnak.
He's like, oh, I can't wait to write this book when he leaves. It's going to be awesome.
They haven't even announced to him yet. He's like, ooh, Ellis
is by the way, no Moon Knight on this list.
Yeah, no Moon Knight either. Yeah, he's good. Another character. So, some writers and some characters have seemingly disappeared.
Some for the better, not some not for the better.
Moon Knight fits into Daredevil, sort of.
Yeah.
By the way, if they want to put him on the TV show.
All right, since we're talking writers and creators, we have some Image stuff. Brian K. Vaughan and Marcos Martin apparently going to write a story arc in The Walking Dead.
Which is a big deal, because Kirkman has never not written Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
And me and Marvel have both turned the corner on that book and said it's good again.
That's good.
So it's an odd time for him to leave. He's leaving to write, he's relaunching Invincible.
Mm-hmm.
I think is what it is, and he decided
he's writing something else too. Like, okay.
So he's adding more titles. So he's like, okay, I'll get this other guy who's got a name and people like to write my book for an arc. We don't know how long the arc's going to be.
Yeah, because some of these arcs can be like 12 issues.
Yeah. So I'm excited about that. It's nice that he's letting someone else play in his program there.
Yeah, and what may be our last news story, unless you guys have anything else you want to talk about. This title from Image had a preview of all the titles they're going to be doing come the fall, and one of them that caught our eye, since we're such big pro wrestling fans, one of which being Ringside.
Yes.
The tagline being, the real violence is outside the ring.
Yeah, it's a pro wrestling comic
mm-hmm.
that focuses more on
the politics and the booking,
the politics of wrestling. Yeah. So
the most fun part of wrestling, right?
People who read the Wrestling Observer newsletter.
Which, I wonder if Dave will read this book now.
He should get the guy on to interview.
You could probably write an article for it and have Brian post it on the.
Yeah, if you review this,
uh-huh.
It will get posted on the front page. But you can't say you're from halfguarded.com because I believe that's banned from the front page.
Well, we could review. And post it on halfcarded.com.
Yeah, we could always, what's it called, a two-time, and just have it be on both sites.
You know what we should do? We should make Dazza do it. he's the writer out of all of us.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, no, I'm excited about that, because a lot of times when they do comics, it'll be, the history of wrestling comics is not really a huge positive.
Mm-hmm.
Which is weird, because so many comics... Okay, on the board, we have a lot of comic fans.
Mm-hmm.
Among the fairly small group of pro wrestling fans who will pay money to join a pro wrestling site. Yeah, there are a lot of comic fans.
This is the F4W board for new listeners.
Yeah. Yeah, which we've talked about before, makes a lot of sense, because pro wrestling and comic books have a lot in common. You have these very flashy characters who wear costumes and, that kind of stuff. And then if you add in the behind the scenes stuff, it's kind of like they have secret identity.
That's the only thing that makes me kind of like, I'm still excited, but I'm cautiously optimistic now. So I'm like,
Yeah, I disagree. You wanted something that observed kayfabe.
I want a kayfabe, but okay, this is a perfect example because I haven't had a chance to talk to Marvel. You know what I want, Marvel? I want Hajime no Ippo, but with pro wrestling. That's what I want this title to be. Where it's kayfabe. Where it's, they present the wrestling as though it's real. I realize that's easier said than done.
Boxing, what he's talking about was a boxing anime he really liked, but boxing is real.
Yeah.
And pro wrestling by its nature is not real.
But I'm saying you could do it in a kayfabe world where pro wrestling is in fact real. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but then you can do what he's... I like it. I like it's different.
Yeah, I realize I'm in the minority. You and Marvel are really pumped. I'm excited, but just, a little... I'm cautiously
and they
optimistic.
Pushed it. They pushed it heavily, so they think something of this book.
Yes.
So I'm excited about this. We will be covering it on the show. This is a book made for this show.
It's like there's someone from Image listening out there, and they suggested this book, realizing it probably has an audience now. I mean,
we will sell at least 1,650 copies.
Which in comic books nowadays is maybe enough to keep you going. Maybe not for Image, but gets you on the what? How many comics books does the Comicron numbers keep track of? Like 200?
I don't know.
I'm sure on the bottom of the list you got like 1,600 sales. All right, I think with all that out of the way, that is going to do it for news this week. And because we're so heavy on news, the fact of the matter is not because of that, but we have no lightning round titles. So with that out of the way, we are going to go straight into this week's books. The following are this week's books: A-Force number 2, Darth Vader number 7, Future Imperfect 2, Giant Size Little Marvel 2, Groot 2, Princess Leia 5, Red Skull number 1, Secret Wars 4, Secret Wars Journal number 3, Ultimate End 3, Years of Future Past 2, Broken World 2, War Stories 10, I very quickly read The Spirit, Jupiter Circle 4, Deadly Class 14, and Imperium 6. We had listed on the site, 18 Days 1, but that comic book was not on Comixology, right?
Okay, wait, I want to go into this. Not only was it not on Comixology, we couldn't even pirate it. So this
not
book
that we endorse piracy.
Actually, well, no, but I mean, I look, Fat Man tells me he can't find it. And I go, okay, so I hadn't bought any of my comics this week. So I go to Comixology and I type it in, doesn't come up. I type in Grant Morrison because it's technically called Grant Morrison's 18 Days. Mm-hmm. It doesn't come up. So there's one of two things happened here. One, it's one of those weird things like Empire where it's only being released on some sort of special platform, which the solicitation did not list. So how would I know that?
Yeah.
Or it's not being released digitally at all.
Yeah. Cause I'm a guy who actually buys
digitally.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I could have pirated.
Well, I'm the one guy who actually still buys physical books. So I remember when I was at the store, I saw it on the shelf, but I didn't think anything of it because I'm like, well, I'm just going to buy it digitally. Oh, okay. It's not a big deal. So they're probably trying to push the physical.
Yeah, apparently it didn't come out digitally.
No.
And not enough people bought it for someone to, you know, scan it.
Yeah. Okay, and then to very quickly do a review of The Spirit, number one, it's a Spirit comic book, almost verbatim straight out of the 40s. If you're into that kind of stuff, cool. But not really my cup of tea. I'm not going to continue reading this book. I asked Laurel while we were reading it. I guess he wanted to just give it a try. But the fact that I read it and didn't much care for it kind of put the other two guys off of it. So let's
go. Also, I forgot we were going to read it until today. And I just thought, nah, I still got lots of stuff to read.
That's just as fine. All right, let's go into our first book, A-Force number 2.
A lot of shots of She-Hulk's taint.
for those of you who are into that.
Just saying, I noticed it. And it wasn't like cheesecake stuff. It's just they kept shooting her from under and in between her legs. Yeah, it was really weird how they kept doing that.
Yeah, they She-Hulk and A-Force, they're getting a report from Nomura on the search for giant sharks, and they find a portal to all the domains underwater. It's like this weird portal that opens up, but then it disappears and explodes, and all the three submariners are helped from the water. And meanwhile, Nico is with, apparently her name is Singularity. I thought it was Captain Universe, but...
That's who I thought it was too, but apparently maybe with this new universe, this is a new character.
Well, it's a different, she's younger, so...
So she takes her to, takes her home to Loki, or not to Loki, but to her home, but Loki, you know, she's aware of Singularity. Mm-hmm. Singularity,
wait, I just thought of something.
Okay.
There is no universe.
Because
there's only Battle World. So maybe they just changed her name because Captain Universe wouldn't make any sense.
Maybe after they, she goes back to being Captain Universe. Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
So Loki walks in and says we have to show her to She-Hulk. But you know, Nico doesn't want to because like, oh, cause you know, then that's what's gonna happen, just like, what was it, Miss America?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, same thing will happen to her. So they do tell, She-Hulk about her. And Medusa wants to communicate with, with her, you know, but, all of a sudden a portal opens up and Sentinels drop down, landing on Singularity, but Nico saves her and then a fight breaks out. Singularity teleports people up on the roof to safety. She-Hulk and Captain Marvel destroy the Sentinel. Medusa is accusing Singularity of causing all the portals. Because, like, isn't it kind of a weird coincidence that she's here and all of a sudden these portals open up?
Yeah, they start showing up out of nowhere. These sharks that, you know, have previously not been in their dimension just start showing up. It's kind of weird that this all happens at the same time.
Yeah, which we don't know if that's the cause. They kind of teased that. I don't know if she's causing it, but She-Hulk is, defending her.
That's good.
And, and so all of a sudden, She-Hulk points at the portal still in the sky, and Singularity sends her through to, New York City. and United Doom Saints, and an apocalyptic landscape of devastation with broken war machines all over the place.
Interesting.
It's a fine book. I mean, whatever.
I like it. I continue to like it. It doesn't, you know, rock my socks, but you know, it continues to be a solid title. And for those of you who thought, maybe long time listeners thought I might forget the gimmick again, it just took me a while to pull it up. So I'll be doing it for this book and all the books going forward. Obviously, writer, you know, C. Willow Wilson, and art by George Molina. What's that?
G. Willow Wilson.
It's showing up here on a comic list as C.
It's G.
Well, I'm just reading it for what I have verbatim in front of me.
It's G. G.
Don't argue with me. Take it up with comic list.
Boom.
Okay, our next title, Darth Vader number 7, writer Karen Gillan and art Salvador Lacora.
And we argued if this is the last issue.
Yeah, I guess it's not. So, although this
would be a weird last issue.
Although apparently this is the beginning of a new one, a new arc.
That's fine.
Oh, so it's going to go on even longer.
Yeah, probably. It might extend even longer.
Yeah, so me talking about how Gillan's gone was a horrible lie.
Well, he could be gone by the time they relaunch with all those
things. Yeah, he's off the book.
Yeah, or they may get a different writer. You never know. So we don't know going forward. All right, Marvel, do your review.
So in this book, the Dark Lord's attention is now fixed on Luke Skywalker.
Mm-hmm.
We saw at the end of issue 6, you know he realizes it's his son. And we find him and his female sidekick of his on Tatooine, and he's piecing together the stuff of Obi-Wan Kenobi, what he did to protect Luke for so many years. You know, he's like, oh, it's all making sense now. So he's using the echoes of the Force to put together what happened with Luke at the Lars home. Vader feels the pain Luke felt when he discovered the charred remains of his adopted family. He's like, oh, so they were all burned up, and his sidekick was like, well, you know what? If they never would have killed him, he probably never would have left. And you'd still have a Death Star.
That was great.
That was cute.
It says here, there's also an interesting misconception on Vader's part. It doesn't quite line up with Vader and Luke's first encounter, but Vader seems to assume Obi-Wan has been giving Luke some informal training over the past 20 years.
Well, he doesn't know any better. He just has to assume.
Well, because he was able to fight off Fett.
Yeah, because he's like, he was able to fight him off, and the Force is strong in him. So how would he be able to fight him off if he hadn't been trained? Although he was trained a little bit, remember, in The New Hope, but yeah. You know, it was very little. So story flashes forward to Vader seizing the profits of a Rodian gangster, and we're seeing that he's making good on his relationship with Jabba and controlling the Outer Rim territories.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're doing this cool looking political aspect of galactic criminality for this book. It's like, okay, well, you know, you scratch our back, we scratch yours.
Pretty much. And, like, the Emperor's cool with it, but you can obviously tell with Vader, he was talking to this Hutt, and he was not cool with it. He's like, you know what? The Emperor's, you know, I understand, you know, we have a, you know, mutual relationship here, but I'm not cool with it, personally.
So yeah, they seized all that money, and it was gonna go towards the Empire. Mm-hmm. But by the end of the issue, we learned that, his sidekick, her name was, Dr. Aphra. She's got her own motives, and she's looking to hijack that fortune that they're selling to the Empire. So she's, biting the hand that feeds her.
Interesting, cause up until now, she just assumed she was gonna die after she was, done with Vader, but apparently she's got plans.
Maybe she's gonna take the money and run.
I predict that won't work out for her.
Well, probably not.
Nice.
All right, let's move on to our next... Oh, sorry, Laro. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to step on you. But what were we going to say?
No, I was just going to say this is good. I don't really have a lot to say about it, though.
That's fine.
This week had a lot of books that I'm like, they were fine, but nothing I can really go in depth for a lot of them. I don't know.
There's a couple of things for book of the week that I'm looking forward to, you know, further down in the episode. But let's go our next book, Future Imperfect number 2, writer Peter David, art by Greg Land.
Oh, I like this a lot.
it is
Maestro rules.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, Thing is Ross.
It's General Ross. Because remember, we thought it was Ben Grimm, but apparently he went into space with Talbot, And he got cosmic rays and he turned into the thing.
It's a very similar story, but in this instance, it is in fact like Thunderbolt Ross.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
So
beat the crap out of him.
Yeah, Maestro beat the crap out of him. He beat him and his resistance. Although it appears that there's something, in play here, as, some of Maestro's, soldiers from his palace, they showed Layla Miller, the adult Layla Miller. She's like, oh no, there's a lot of us. X-Force. I mean, X-Factor. Yeah. X-Factor.
From Peter David's X-Factor.
Yeah.
If people don't know.
Yeah. This is the adult version, because in the one in X-Factor, she's a female version. But her future self came back in that book several times. Yeah. So she, you know, she tells, oh, look, we're against them too. We're trying to join up your resistance.
Yes.
So Maestro at the end has Thing captive, but he tells him, look, I just really want to beat Doom. And Thing's like, oh, well, why didn't you say so?
Yeah. Maestro reveals his end goal is to kill Doom and take his place, which, again, this brings me back to the question of why did Doom create, like, why did he save Maestro?
I personally think he wasn't too picky. He was realizing reality was collapsing on itself, and he just tried to rescue as many universes as he can. He wasn't too picky. And this was one of them that just so happened and luckily got saved.
Well, but he... Well, we'll talk about that later.
Because then he also brought...
He kept someone else from appearing. So...
Oh, okay.
You know. Yeah, like he clearly could have. Mm-hmm. He just... Well, maybe he's so focused on his main villain. Or maybe he doesn't know who Maestro is. Mm-hmm. Present day Doom?
I mean, he knows the Hulk, but maybe he didn't know who the Maestro personality
I'm still
was.
The opinion that he doesn't necessarily know. He just, like, whatever, when he was rescuing all these realities, he just picked whatever realities he could get.
And he also, I think he's not a threat because of stuff we saw in Secret Wars that you're not talking about. Yeah, he's Doom. He has God powers.
Yeah, I knew you were going to like that, by the way.
Yeah, well, can we just talk about Secret Wars now?
Sure, let me just get the gimmick ready. Secret Wars number 4, written by Jonathan Hickman, art by Asad Ribic.
Yeah, the art was great, the writing was great. In this issue, Valeria...
The best part is everybody on the board, like at least 2 or 3 people, barred up to Lura. I'm like, okay, it's a good book, but Lura, especially you're going to love this week's Secret Avengers.
Lura's going to love this Secret issue, Wars. And I'm like, and I didn't even consider it. I said something like, so Doom's a badass, which he was, or Hyperion does something. And I didn't bring up Punisher, because I thought, why would Punisher fit into this story? No, what happened was, Doom sees all the people from outside the world's fighting, Valeria points it out.
Uh-huh.
The people left over from pre-Secret Wars, pre-Battle World. And he sees them all fighting, and she's pointing out that, like, you know, oh, there's a Thanos. He's a lot strong. You know, his power levels are over 9,000. He's much stronger than the Thanos we have here.
Yeah,
they're all stronger than the ones we have here. So apparently Doom slightly depowered these people. The thing that bothers Doom is he sees Reed Richards. And Doom, we find out Doom did not save any Richardses. So he's like, oh, fuck, well, I got to take care of this now.
Not only did he not save him, he didn't think to bring him back. Because like we saw earlier, that he brought back the rest of his family, but he purposely chose not to bring him or...
Well, he brought back Sue and made her married to him. He kept Valeria and made her his daughter.
How long has that been a thing that Doom's been trying to get at Sue and...
Since like never. The 60s.
No, it was never strong. It was Nermer and Sue.
No, but I mean, Doom had been into her too. She tried to... manipulate him several times.
But it was never the same. It was
the infatuation wasn't the same, but yeah, since the 60s, some manner.
Yeah, but it's not a focus thing. It was Doom's thing was beating Reed and being better than Reed.
Yeah. So
taking his woman.
Taking his woman wouldn't make sense. Like, oh yeah, I got your woman.
But, the important thing is he decides he has to go and stop this fight. So God Doom goes out there and who stands up to him but Phoenix Force Cyclops, who, by the way, heel in this book, where he's like, he's given this whole speech about how he's a mutant and he's more than man.
He's like a god.
He's like this, and he's like, this world is ours. This world is mine. He almost gets out mine, and then Doom grabs him by the throat and snaps goddamn neck. Phoenix with Cyclops, he completely punks out.
Oh my god.
Did two things. Number one, it made me very happy because legit Cyclops is dead. And he was a dick when he died. Number two, it put over how powerful Doom is. He just, with ease, killed the guy who had the Phoenix Force. No effort at all. Just snapped his neck.
And during all of this, Doctor Strange saved the remaining 616 people.
Yeah, he teleported them all away. And Doom got really mad. And then, you know, Strange is like, all right, we gotta have a real talk here. He's like, you are afraid of Reed Richards.
That's awesome. I love that. Even though he's a god, he's still like, Reed's going to find some way to undo this and take my god power away.
Yeah, because he told Doom, look, he didn't tell Reed that Doom stole his entire life. And even with all his powers, he's still afraid of him. And then he tells Doom that he should be afraid of Reed. And that's when Doom strikes him down.
Yeah, Doom kills his sidekick there. He kills Sheriff Strange because he's so angry about all this. And problems are brewing in Doomworld because when Susan saw Reed, she's like, oh, there's something different about this one. Mm-hmm. And when she said that, that's when he decided he had to go. So something's going on. Like the appearance of real Reed has made Sue start to – maybe she's getting the madness.
The madness?
Oh yeah, that's from that one book, Korvac saga.
Yeah, and she's gonna start to remember the way things were before. Oh, I love this because it's total Doom. He's a complete badass, but then he's just got crippling personality problems. He's so insecure because he knows Reed's better than
he
him.
He is God, and he's still insecure.
Even when he becomes God, he remakes the world. And he erases Reed Richards from existence. Reed Richards does not exist. He is the one he is the one who fathered Valeria. Reed Richards still finds a way to show up and ruin everything.
You kind of feel sad for Doom to a degree.
Eh, I don't want to go that far.
Yeah.
Why sad?
Just because it's like...
Because he's insecure? And being insecure gives him the right to do all this.
The one chance he has to completely remake reality. And he gets god powers.
It's still gonna be ruined by Reed Richards.
It's wackier than anything Marvel, if that makes you feel better.
And Reed is smarter than him.
even when Doom becomes a god, Reed is still smarter. Wackiness ensues. Alright, our next book. Giant Size Marvel number 2, writer and art by Scotty Young.
Should have been Lightning Round.
I just realized.
It was cute.
It was cute. It was fun.
It was cute. Two new kids showed up. Two twins who apparently don't have any powers.
Mm-hmm.
And the X kids and the Avengers kids are vying to get them to join their team.
Mm-hmm.
That was the entire plot of this.
More or less.
Although the twins are kind of funny because they both give them invitations to come meet with them at their secret hideouts. Their secret hideouts are... They're basically really fancy tree houses, but they're right next to each other.
So nobody thought to move their tree somewhere else. It's a little inconspicuous that they're right next to each other.
Well, but they go to walk up and see all this, and there's a big explosion.
Mm-hmm.
And then they realize they're all fighting. They're fighting over them, but they're fighting. So they just kind of sit on the hill and watch them fight.
It's a cute book.
It had lots of funny stuff. Like, it opened up with a little song about... Marvel.
It came up to like, this is Scotty Young's answer to Muppet Babies. Like, you can clearly tell that's what he's trying to do here.
Except violent.
Eh.
Yeah, it was a very cute issue.
All right, let's move on to our next book, Groot number 2, written by Jeff Loveness, writer Brian Kissinger.
The origin of Groot and Rocket Raccoon's relationship.
Hooray! How they met, basically.
Yeah, how they met and how they get along.
I flipped through the book. I just remember at the end we got Don and Silver Surfer.
That's why I told Marvel about, because I read all the Marvel stuff on Wednesday. And I'm like, Marvel, you're gonna want to read at the very least this week's Groot, because the next issue is gonna have Don and Silver Surfer.
Yeah, but this week's book isn't going to have anything to do with the next issue of this group, because they just showed up at the end.
This week's book was noteworthy, though, because it showed, you know, Groot and Rocket met in prison, and Groot kept getting beaten down by the guards, because all he could say is, I'm Groot.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought that was funny, and they just beat the crap out of him and shoot him, and then eventually they threw him in the hole.
They're like, let's put the freaks together.
And Rocket and Groot didn't get along at first, because all Groot said is, I am Groot.
He's like, you know, no one can understand you, right?
Yeah, and we saw things like him, you know, saying, you know, stay on your side of the cell, and like they go to lunch, and he'd make him sit on the other end of the table,
because
he didn't want to hear him say, I'm Groot anymore.
But he's still there with, you know, a big grin on his face, like, oh, I like this guy.
But the guards, they're being mean to Groot again, and Rocket will not stand for this. So he tries to stop the guards from beating him up, but then he realizes he can understand Groot.
Yeah, that's why I like this natural progression of their relationship, that eventually he grew to understand him.
Yeah, there was no real explanation of that. He was just like, oh, I have good ears. But he's the only one who can understand Groot, and Groot was really nice to him. He grew him a little bed in their crappy cell.
Mm-hmm.
That was how they... was how they became friends, and he's the only one to understand him, and they decided they'd be together forever.
I like the beginning of this book where Groot's dreaming, and he dreams that he's just a normal person in a world with all the superheroes, and they all look like trees.
Yeah, and he's all happy because they could all understand him. Because apparently like, Groot is very frustrated with the fact that nobody can understand him.
Yeah, he's all like, you guys can understand me? He's all, stop being stupid, of course we can.
Yeah, and you had like Groot version of Iron Man and all the Avengers stuff. They were in their costumes, but they looked like Groot.
A giant Groot Lactus. You
know, yeah, he woke up and, you know, got hit by like a spaceship, but they thought he was attacking the spaceship because he couldn't talk. As far as the story goes, it flowed very well to explain why Rocket understanding him was such a big deal in their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is, Rocket is the only person he can communicate with, is what they laid out here. No one understands what the hell he's saying, but Rocket. Of course he'd be friends with him. He's the only one he can talk to.
Mm-hmm.
So that was cute. And then, yeah, at the end, there was a reoccurring thing of, you know, Groot gets hit by things while he's floating through space, and he gets hit by Silver Surfer and Dawn.
Marvel, are you going to read that issue or no? Are you going to wait for the very least me to read it to see if it's a heavy Silver Surfer Dawn issue?
I'll wait for you.
Okay.
Well, this is good again, and the last issue was good. I mean, they do... They're able to do a lot with the fact that the character can't talk.
Yeah, that's the one thing I thought going forward. It's like, is this just really going to be another Rocket book? Because so far, that's all he's done so far. But maybe, in fact, the Surfer will be able to understand him because he has the power cosmic.
Yeah.
All right, our next book, Princess Leia, number 5, writer Mark Waid, art Terry Dodson.
The end of the story.
Yeah, this actually ended.
5 of 5.
they put over Princess Leia better than they ever did in the movies.
Yes. Quite.
She came off as a very smart, very capable leader. Very good leader who only cared about the well-being of her people.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end was able to draw them all together to fight off the Empire.
Yeah. On the planet of Spiron, Paris tries to have Beyond Bonnell meet with Leia. You know, the representative.
Yeah.
But he's blown off by the representative, which gratifies Jorah, who considers them to be like lesser than full-blooded Aldarians, because you know, these are they're mixed.
You know, they're...
So meanwhile, on Skaradosh, Leia has given herself up to Imperial forces to arrange a trade for Tace's sister, who betrayed the princess's location to the Empire. Remember, it was her sister was on the ship, and they were communicating.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't know that she was with the Empire, so that's how they caught wind of him. And they got into a little scuffle because she was mad because, oh, you betrayed us, and, you know.
But Leia was, like, smiling. Like, it was treated like, oh, it's sisters fighting.
Yeah,
but
you could tell that they...
She legitimately did betray them, and they would have died.
Yeah, but Leia was, of course, above that. She just saw as two, you know, sisters who had reunited who are kind of, you know, squabbling, but it's nothing serious. That's not the way it's supposed to be treated. It's supposed to be, you know, kind of lighthearted.
So as you know, the handcuffs or whatever being placed around her wrist, A ship is heard descending rapidly, and it's a double cross with Evan flying the ship. So, she, you know, they were able to steal the ship that was supposed to transport them. So, you know, a bunch of stuff happens. The story moves back to Esperion, where events go, you know, all the survivors of Alderaan have their backs against their wall against the Empire. Cause remember, they all assembled to try to fight them off.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Leia did this, like, you know, war speech, you know, oh, well, if we're going to go down, we're going to go down fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And this was being transmitted on the planet Esperion because they needed their help. They have all these, apparently they got a lot of weapons that.
R2 did it without telling her.
Yeah, he did without telling him. So that inspired them to go help them. So,
which they did incredibly fast. Like they were very quickly able to launch their spaceships and blow up a Star Destroyer.
Well, they made it known that, I guess their military is on par with the Empire, more or less.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, they said they had ships that could take a Star Destroyer.
Yeah. So, yeah, so they're basically on par. And, you know, so, you know, they had their little victory celebration, and, Leia eventually leaves to, you know, go back to, the rebel groups, you know, with, Han and Luke.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, she said goodbye to Evan. Kind of sad to see this kind of end. I'm like, I hope they, revisit this. Maybe they'll do books that take place after Return of the Jedi, but in between, episode 7.
Maybe.
I'd like to see
that. They're going to. They announced that. They are going to do a book that bridges the gap.
What they're probably going to do is they're going to wait for all the other books to wrap up at their time sequence, and then eventually they're going to just move over all together.
Well, this is ended. Next week we're getting Lando. So yeah. I don't think we're ever going to have a time where we don't have another Star Wars book.
Yeah, because I'm wondering how long when they're going to start doing those books to bridge the gap. Because I know they're going to do regular books, like novels.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to read those. I don't care enough to read the novels.
No, obviously.
I actually care enough about the new canon. I'm considering reading at least one of them.
Nerd.
But I'll definitely read the comics.
Nerd.
Yeah, and I'm not even a big Star Trek fan. You're Fetman.
Yeah, this is coming from the guy who, you know, uses the username Fetman. So when I'm calling you a Star Wars nerd, you realize how far you've crossed over to the dark side.
Well, maybe I will. I was gonna say I'm not gonna see the movie in theater, but I guess I could take Jack to the drive-in.
Wow, even Star Wars won't have you come into the theater?
I went to see Avengers 2 in the theater.
Oh, okay.
You gotta understand, Jack just turned 5. Mm-hmm. Like, he was too young to go to the movies.
No.
And to go to a movie with a lot of talking,
mm-hmm.
he's 5. He can't sit through that. He'd get bored.
That's true.
All right. So, yeah, I gotta pick and choose. Or, me and Lauren did go to a movie. We had my mom watch Jack, but I can't remember what the movie was. Maybe we just went and got drunk. I can't remember.
Would that been, Foxcatcher? Remember you said you saw that recently, but maybe that was a DVD.
No. That was when it was already on, You know, came out of theaters. So I watched that at home.
Okay.
Lauren's not going to go see Foxcatcher with me.
I never know. A book I'm particularly that I was surprised with, and I'm curious to see how you guys thought of it. Red Skull number 1, writer Joshua Williams, art by Luca Bizzari.
Spoilers, we didn't like it as much as you.
Oh.
But I still liked it.
I thought I read like a Thunderbolts book, personally.
Red Skull, it did. Red Skull, well, no, because they're still villains. Red Skull is a mythic figure
mm-hmm.
in Battleworld.
Yes.
Because Doom sent him across the wall because he didn't want Doom to rule. He wanted to rule, started a rebellion against him, and Doom sent him across the wall.
That's cool that we're having that. We're seeing Maestro apparently wants to take the throne. Red Skull at some point apparently attempted.
All the other big deal villains.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who he should not have allowed into his world. I guess there's only one Red Skull. But, this Red Skull cult has popped up
mm-hmm.
in various worlds. So what happened was they collected, Crossbones, collected a group of.
It was Electro, Magneto, Moonstone, Jack-O-Lantern, Lady Deathstrike, and the Winter Soldier. And I like I like the part where they describe all the things that they do. Oh, Electro, he did this. Magneto, he did this. And Winter Soldier. Oh, yeah, he's a Winter Soldier.
Yeah, well, it turned out he offered to go because he has unfinished business with Doom or with Red Skull.
Yeah, but basically all the people in this book at some point either disapproved of Doom or tried to take out Doom.
Yeah. So, Crossbones gets, and he's working for Doom now, and he says, you know, you have to, they did two different things. He said, Doctor Strange told him that he needed to bring back proof that Doom was dead.
Not Doom, Red Skull.
You keep saying
Red
that,
Skull,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's fine.
I keep saying Doom. Proof that Red Skull was dead, which he theorized, bring him Red Skull's head, mm-hmm. is what Doom actually wanted. Doom thinks he's still alive, apparently, and Strange thinks he's dead because he went over the wall, or the shield, and nobody, nobody lives through that. So they're going to go, and he takes them through like a secret entrance, through the shield onto the other side, and almost the entire team is almost immediately killed. All of them. Our entire cast is killed.
By the zombies, yeah, yes.
Which is kind of odd that they build up this team to be like Thunderbolts and like, oh, they just killed almost all of them.
Well, yeah, but you don't expect it. That was why they did it. Because you didn't expect it. So the zombies kill all of them except, who lived?
Magneto. I think it was Magneto.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, it was Magneto because that's gonna be funny. Magneto was saved by Red Skull. Who is alive? Why is that funny? Well,
because he's a Jewish. And...
yeah, Magneto is a Jew who is in Auschwitz, and Red Skull is a Nazi. They are in fact the odd couple.
Da,
da, da, da. And in this book, Red Skull said, "Come with me if you want to die."
Yeah, well, because he said, The problem was he thought he killed Red Skull, but Red Skull as a martyr was more powerful than he'd been as just a guy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So Red Skull basically tells him, well, you have to die now. And that you'll be more powerful than ever.
You could possibly, if you strike me down, I'll become more powerful than you could possibly imagine.
Okay, but that was Obi-Wan.
I know, but this is...
And you're doing it in the Emperor.
Which makes it even funnier, because there's no context for that.
Come with me if you want to die.
We need an Emperor book now.
Darth Vader. They need to do an Emperor book, and then have the guy who played the Emperor read the book, like a book on date. In character. That'd be great. Yeah, this was good.
All right,
let's but move. Not as good as Fat Man thought.
Oh, okay. A book that you actually did like, at least so far, the best so far, Secret World Journal number 3, written by Kevin Marr, art by Corey Smith. I'm looking
best
at this
issue.
Yeah, I'm looking at the description right here. Apparently, Scott Aukerman of Comedy Bang Bang helped write the second story.
The funny story I thought was the funniest one so far, and the serious story was a good little short, like Wolverine noir story.
Yeah, that was fun.
I don't think the funny story was really that funny. It wasn't really.
I thought it was good.
It was funny when like all the, cause they're in the place where everyone is a Hulk.
There was some funny stuff, but it was kind of serious too.
I thought it was good, but it wasn't that funny.
The funny parts are funny, I thought. Like when they're all hulking out for like a traffic, like somebody cuts someone off and then that sets them all out to fight and they're all fighting about ridiculous things.
That was kind of funny. I'll give you that.
Yeah, that was funny. It's that made me laugh. And they did it twice.
The first story was it was like a noir detective story set in the 1940s. Detective Logan is investigating the death of Tony Stark, and he's just, you know, the Pepper Potts. She made it sound like it was the Mandarin. Well, we come to find out that there is a Mandarin, but there's several people that are their doppelgangers from other domains are taking or coming into the 1940s, killing them and taking over their identities. Because he was looking at the Mandarin, is like, there's something different about you, and it's like, you don't smell right, and you know, it was him. It wasn't him. It was a different Mandarin.
Yeah.
So at the end of the story, the Punisher, you know, he ends up killing this Mandarin, and we come to find out. Pepper Potts had, I guess, Mandarin killed. You know, she knew because that Pepper Potts was the one from the other domain.
Mm-hmm.
And the only other person who would have known who she was, that she wasn't the 1940s version, was their version of Tony Stark. That's why she had him killed. So I'm not sure why she had to go there, kill him, and then kill the Mandarin. That's a little confusing to me.
Well, because the Mandarin was, maybe that guy was working with her. Because they had all been replaced by their doppelgangers from other dimensions. Because the Punisher killed the Punisher, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is confusing because they were drawn the same. Like, they were identical looking Punishers.
Wait, did that happen in this book, too? Because I remember that, yes. That happened in Ultimates 3.
Oh, was it Ultimates 3?
Yeah. Ultimate End 3 that happened.
Oh, crap. Okay, never mind.
Yeah,
sorry.
That didn't happen in this book.
Okay, my bad. Spoilers.
Yeah, that just happened.
For a bad book.
Yeah, this just happened to have Punisher. Yeah. I'm not really sure. Why couldn't she just escape and go somewhere else? I mean, I guess she could have just killed off Pepper Potts and ran off. But I guess she wanted
to take her place.
I don't know. The motive is a little weird. Well, whatever.
Yeah, well, it was only a 12 story, so.
Yeah, the other book was Doc Samson as a psychiatrist, pissed off about all the hoaxes in the world.
Well, no, Doc Samson is a psychiatrist.
Yeah. Well,
so that's not different.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he meets up with Peter Parker and helps him
get over the grief of his uncle dying.
Yeah, Uncle Ben dying. Yeah, because he had just died like, what, a week or two ago, he mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
So he was there to, I guess, talk it through. And he hoaxed out a little bit, but then Doc Samson hoaxed up and he's like, how'd you do that? He's like, oh, well, you know, you can control it if you know how to do it. So they do the whole, great power, great responsibility type deal here. He's, even though Doc Samson was like kind of pessimistic about, man, I wouldn't be shocked if this world is destroyed in 5 years, maybe 2 years. He felt like he accomplished something. He made a difference by talking to Peter in this book. So that was a nice little story. This book overall was, probably my favorite of the Secret Wars journals.
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
For sure, the best one, I think.
Well, the best total issue.
Yeah. Because, it's usually like one story is good. Remember the first week, it was like the series story is good.
Oh, the one with the Punisher and the Wolverine, that one was amazing. And then they had that terrible MODOK story. Or am I getting confused with another book?
I think that's the other book. I think that's okay. Battle World.
Oh, Battle World Battles. Yeah, you're right. My mistake.
Yeah.
All right. Ultimate Ends #3, writer Brian Michael Bendis, art by Mark Bagley.
I hate this book so much.
Yeah, I know. I keep thinking something's going to happen. That's why I keep reading it.
What can happen, though? Like, the ultimate world is already destroyed. This is just a piece of it.
It's a piece of the two Marvel.
So ambiguous.
Yeah.
It better be a hell of a payoff.
I don't think we're going to get it. It's nice that you guys are optimistic, but I don't think we're going to get nothing.
I'm not optimistic.
Yeah, who said I was optimistic?
Well, you guys are at least in some ways it's going to pay off.
No, I'm hoping. Whoa. I'm not optimistic about it. But
you're optimistic it'll pay off.
I'm not very optimistic about it.
You're hoping it'll pay off.
He's hoping. That's not optimism.
It's the same thing. Same thing.
Hoping? No, hoping. Optimistic would be...
Man, it should be great.
Yeah, you're hoping it'll
really
pay off.
I'm hyped for this. He's just saying they could do something. Could be good. But he doesn't anticipate it.
Yeah, I'm speculating that it might be good. I'm not anticipating it's good. Well, anyways, this book continues to be ambiguous, dealing with the stuff from 616 and the Ultimate Universe. Ultimate Banner apparently caused the escape of the inmates from Rikers because he got into a fight with Doc Green over petty dumb shit. Fury has Banner captive, but... one of the Stark.
Wait. That was the highlight of the book.
Well, yeah. I mean,
when Doc Green and Ultimate Banner were talking, and Banner is just whining. Oh, all we do is smash stuff. We can't fix, which is retarded because he's big and green. He's clearly in Hulk form, but he's intelligent and working towards a solution to the problem. But Banner's still whining at him. And finally, he just goes, "You are a sad, broken little man," which sets Ultimate Banner off, and then they fight. But that was my favorite part of the book.
I like the part where Spider-Man told Fury, "You're really good at yelling."
Yeah, because Ultimate Nick Fury is cutting a promo on Ultimate Bruce Banner for fighting with Doc Green. He's just going off on him, and then Spider-Man, after he's done cutting a promo, he's like, "You're really good at yelling."
One of the Stark, I don't know which Stark was it that saved him. I think it was 616 Stark, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think that's 616, cause,
he's like, we're gonna find a way to fix this situation. And this, and, like I said, there's a subplot going on since issue one with Punisher. Punisher's like, I guess, killing all these villains. But one, they both meet each other, and one of them kills the other, and I don't know which one's which.
Let's presume the ultimate one dies, cause he's not as over as a 616.
I'm assuming that's what it is.
Okay, next book. Years of Future Past, number 2, Margaret Bennett, art by Mike Norton.
I didn't read it.
You are the lucky one. Cause me and Laurel read this and oh my god, was it bad. Like, I read the first issue of Years of Future Past. I thought it was fine. Like, there were parts of it I wasn't looking forward to when number 2 came out, but you know, I didn't have the same reaction I did reading number 1. Laura, are you there?
Sorry, what are we talking about?
We are talking Years of Future Past number 2.
I opened this book up.
Oh my god.
And I read the first 6 pages.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get to a page with no background. And keep in mind, I read my books digitally. And all I see is the biggest amount of speech bubbles. It was one speech bubble, I could tell, snaking across the page, the entire page, the white page with nothing else on it but text. And I start to read this, and I'm scrolling down, and I realize this is still going. This is an entire page of speech bubble. And I get to the bottom, and amidst the white background, there is Colossus and Little Kitty standing there talking. And at that point, I said, I'm not reading this book anymore. Because the first 6 pages weren't good. And this is ridiculous. This is the most ridiculous use of dialogue and least use of art I've ever seen in the in this medium. And I had to stop reading it. This book disgusted me.
I wish I had done that, but I just assumed because you... I don't know about Marvel, but I remember you guys were kind of... At least you were kind of not... Maybe not high, but you thought it was okay, Years of Future Past.
I thought one. The first issue was okay.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, there, I flipped through it. I saw that page. It was that top to bottom speech bubble.
Straight out of a Bendis book. Just, you know, speech bubble connected to another speech bubble connected to another speech bubble. And it's all Colossus delivering this monologue. And I read
it. And it wasn't even well written.
No, it was terrible. And he keeps repeating certain parts of it. He's like, oh, started with a joke. And I'm reading it. It's not making sense. So I start rereading it again. And I'm like, okay, first of all, this book isn't very good from the get-go. But the fact that I'm rereading this to try to make sense out of it. And I reread it and it still doesn't make any sense. And I'm like, I don't care. I'm going to finish this book. Because, you know, it's on the list. I might as well just at least muscle through. But goddamn, I didn't like Years of Future Past number 2. And going forward, I don't want to read anymore.
Oh, I'm not going to hear, but here, I'm counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. 23 speech bubbles before I see any art on the page.
Oh my god.
Then 24, 25, 26. And some of these are really, really wrong. And the next page isn't, God, Dad, you just said a lot. It's just, yes, Dad, and then she hugs him. And, I mean, they make fun of him in another panel,
mm-hmm.
But at that point I stopped reading. The art is also very average. It's occasionally good, but often it's just kind of there.
Mm-hmm.
But God, that page just offended me.
It offended you, I like that.
Horribly, and it ends with because after that I'm like, well, I should at least see how it ends, and it ends with they go in a room and Lockheed's there, but he's giant.
Yeah, it's a giant Lockheed dragon, apparently,
because he grew up.
Yeah, whatever,
I guess.
Broken World number 2, Frank Barbary, art by Christopher Peterson.
Oh, there's a name we were looking for, Frank Barbary.
That's what he writes.
Yeah,
Me and Marvel are discussing this.
Oh? Without me?
Yes. I like the book. I like this issue. They're going the way I wanted them to go with the story.
But...
two problems. One of them is this is only a 4-issue series, and that's absolutely retarded. They could do so much more with this premise, and it's only getting 4 issues. It's half done now. That upsets me. Second one is we think we may have misread the first issue. We had assumed... okay,
yeah, you got the spaceship crashing into asteroid, right?
Yeah, we thought that they had the children, the religious cultists. We thought they had done like terrorist attack and blown up the spaceship.
Oh.
We now think either the main character is insane or that's not the spaceship blowing up. It was like, you know, when the spaceship takes off, yeah, it shoots off the big fire thing.
Mm-hmm.
We think it might have been that because her goal in this is she's got her little kit for people who are being evacuated, and there is a plan for people who miss the evacuation.
Mm-hmm.
It's a secret evacuation. And she's like, I have to go find my husband and my son. So she's either crazy or we misread that first issue. I'm going to have to find that first issue and read it again now.
Yeah, she, to see. Her plan is, apparently there's a military silo in Washington. They're in Seattle, but they're going to, I guess, an old silo.
Mm-hmm.
And they're supposed to have some sort of spaceship, some backup spaceship that the way they made it sound is like, well, you know, it's kind of a prototype. It hasn't really been tested, but we're confident it'll get you to where we're supposed to go. So, yeah, she's trying to reunite with her husband and her son. But we don't know, like Laurel said, we don't know if she's crazy or we misread something. This is a weird plan.
I thought it was just me, so it's glad to have some confirmation.
No,
you okay?
She might not even have this thing. She might have imagined that too.
I never got the impression that she was crazy, because that could just be
There were the scenes of her with her former student and like trying to help them out,
mm-hmm.
and then there were the scenes of her basically laying in bed being depressed.
Mm-hmm.
However, her laying in bed being depressed, she would have been that way had they died, but she also would have still been that way had they gotten in a spaceship and left forever.
Okay.
So, we don't really know yet. I'm going to have to reread that first issue and see if I can figure it out. Now, having said that, I'm not sure what was going on. This is still a good comic.
Yeah. Very
good. The art is good. The writing is very good. I'm really upset this is only 4 issues.
Yeah, I completely forgot about that until you just brought it up just now. And I was like, this seems like it has legs that could continue for a while, well past 4 issues.
Yeah, but nope. 4 issues. So... I mean, you know, maybe he's going for a short and sweet thing.
Basically, what's the number one rule of show business? Leave the people wanting more.
Yeah. Okay. But it was a good issue, and it ended with the kid she found.
Mm-hmm.
They were, like, coming on this camp where all the people are gathered, and there's, like, some military guy there. And he's like, well, we better go out and meet him. But he says, like, get the guns. We have to go out and meet him. I don't think they're going to be bad guys. I think that was meant to sound threatening as a swerve. I think the reason he said get the guns isn't because, oh, they're kids, we're going to kill them. I think it was get the guns, we have to make sure we can trust them.
Yeah, but of course it's comic and they got to do everything with the cliffhanger at the end of every issue.
Yeah, so I think he's going to turn out to be an alright guy and everything will be fine.
Yeah. Alright, next book, War Stories number 10. Writer Garth Ennis, art by Thomas Arian. I think I'm saying that right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this issue, it was another World War II issue. It takes place near the end of the war,
mm-hmm.
and it follows a group of Irish soldiers who join the British military because they Ireland was neutral in the war.
Yes, but apparently a couple. Yeah, apparently a couple Irishmen wanted to fight Nazis, so
if you wanted to fight Nazis, you had to join up.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about that, and like one of them's from Northern Ireland, so they make fun of them all the time. and there were some funny exchanges between the two, but they haven't seen any action. Like apparently a couple of their guys died, like via explosive or something, but they haven't actually seen a German yet.
Okay,
and near the end of the issue, they finally come upon, like, there's like three German trucks. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, things must be getting really bad.
Some action. Now they notice that they're Nazis, that they're obviously, you know, they're not beating, but they're obviously not ready to fight. They're like, oh, finally we can get, you know, kill some Nazis. Cause that's what we signed up for.
Yeah, well, cause at this point in the story, the Allies are moving in from the east and the Russians are moving in from the west. So they're mm-hmm. closing in on Berlin. That was when the war was ending. So, you know, bad news if you want to kill Nazis at this point, cause you're not in the right spot. but they find these three trucks and they're like, oh, things must be really bad for them. Cause now they're doing supply runs in the middle of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So they come up with a plan, and one of the guys is like, all right, I'm going to blow up the last truck. He's going to throw a grenade at it because they're stationary. He's like, and then, you know, we'll do something in the front and we'll lock them in.
Yeah, they'll be boxed in, I think was the terminology he used.
He throws his grenade at the truck, but apparently it was an ammo truck because the grenade goes off and it blows up all three trucks. Gigantic explosion. But then the shooting starts. So the Germans had it covered. So the shooting starts and now they're pinned down and they're like, oh shit, we're totally fucked. They're going to flank us and they're going to kill all of us because we can't even get up to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
They call in for support. A tank comes in. The tank saves them. And then the guy driving the tank is like, oh, you fucking Irish. You take it easy out here. And that was the end of the first issue.
Yeah.
So, this is a three-issue storyline, but it's going to be very weird because it's apparently about how little action there is for them.
Hey, they got to tell every story, right? They all can't be winners.
And also how the British are not incredibly fond of the Irish.
Yeah.
And they did give a brief history of Irish independence.
That was kind
of
cool, too, because, like I said, even the one guy in the book, he's all, well, I missed that one day in class. That was sort of the justification for retelling the story. But, you know, I'm an American. I don't necessarily know everything about that conflict.
He left out the Irish Civil War that took place after.
They even bring that up in the book as well, yeah.
Yeah, because he was talking to an English guy. But I mean, that was basically done as a way of, okay, here's the story of Irish independence. We're going to leave out the Civil War, but Garth Ennis is Irish, so he doesn't want to leave it totally out, so we had him tell it.
Go on?
Yeah, go ahead.
My only real nitpick of this book, it's war stories and it's Garth Ennis, so I liked it. It's a really good story. My only real criticism of this book, and so far this is the only instance that he's done it, where he has them and the text is written in the accent. So I'm glad you did the recap for most of this, because in several instances I was like, I have no idea what's going on. For the love of God, I hope Laura reads this book, because I cannot do a solo review of this, because there are so many instances where I don't know if it was the Irish guy or the English guy, but it's just
It was the Irish guy.
He writes it with the accent, and I couldn't understand what they were saying.
He does that. He did that with Cassidy and Preacher.
Okay.
Garth Ennis is Irish himself.
Okay.
He wants to get across the way they sound.
Mm-hmm.
And the Irish accent is very different from the English accent. If you're writing a character as he's English without putting like fucking U's in words to indicate he's English, he's gonna talk the same as an American.
Uh-huh.
An Irish guy, if he's that type of Irish, he would talk differently. They say some words differently from us.
Yeah.
So he wants to get that across, and he's stressing the fact that this is an Irish regiment. He wants them to talk different because they look the same.
Yeah.
So he wants them to talk different. So when they talk to the English people, you quickly tell the difference. Okay, these are our guys, and they're all wearing the same uniform too. These are our guys. They're speaking with an Irish accent. This is the English guys. They don't have the accent.
Mm.
So I can see where it might be kind of hard to understand.
Yeah, I was about to ask, did you have a problem with this? Am I in the minority, or there were instances where you found it hard to keep up with what they were saying?
No, because I've read his stuff before, and we have Irish in our family. So.
Ah, okay.
Well, I know how these fuckers talk. They don't all talk like that. But.
Got it. Okay. Well, our next book, which I'm sure you didn't read, Luro, Jupiter's Circle number 4 by Mark Miller, art by Wilfredo Torres. Just like the last issue, I absolutely love, love, love this story arc. It ends this week. For me, definitely, this is a contender for Book of the Week. And when we go later on to Book of the Week, it's gonna be hard to pick something over this, because I absolutely love this week's issue of Jupiter's Circle.
Oh my God, I read this.
You did?
You thought this was one of your favorite books of the week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gave it another shot. I'm not reading this anymore. This is fucking...
I'll say this much. When I open the first page and I look at the art, and I noticed last time we read this, that's one of the things you first ripped on. You're like, the art is so basic. It's kind of like, it's...
Yeah, and
it's
I do it
really
again.
Rough and it's borderline bad. And I really noticed it in this issue. And I'll agree you do have a point with that. But with that said, I absolutely love the story.
Yeah, Fitz is enjoying his time with April after he proposed to her. Remember he left his wife for her?
Yes.
So he takes her to the Team Brigade clubhouse and hangs out. And he's upset that these young people want her. He hangs out with Hollywood types like Liberace.
That was awesome.
trying to convert them to Satanism.
Satanism, yeah, basically.
Was he one? Oh, I don't know enough about Liberace.
Probably.
Was he some cultist of some sort? I don't know.
I'll look it up while you're talking.
For laughs, but it doesn't matter if it was real or not.
No, I'm just wondering. They did do the whole thing for laughs about him. He's a womanizer. You don't think he's trying to go after April? You know,
he was, by the way.
Well, he was also gay.
Well, yeah, so they're cool with that back in the day.
It was fun. So he takes her out of there in a jealous and insecure rage. And Sammy Davis Jr. is like, well, somebody's insecure. Or somebody could do the impression of, well, somebody's insecure.
Somebody!
Well, so they're showing what's going on with his family since he's been gone. His wife's under the impression he'll be back. He's like, well, look, I've known him long enough. We've been together so many years. I know him. Mm-hmm. The son is upset that he left the family. And he's starting to develop his powers, apparently.
Yeah.
And he's talking to, who's the main guy?
His father's is basically his father's friends that kicked him out of the team. They're just, you know, they're talking to him, seeing how he's handling the divorce and whatnot. And he's like obviously, you know, his powers are developing. He's, you know, throwing stones. And they ask him, oh, so are you going to join the Team Brigade when you're old enough, when your powers develop? He's all no, basically. You could just tell he doesn't want anything to do with superheroes, especially with the way things worked out with him and his dad.
Yeah, he's like, what do you want to do first when you get your powers? He goes, I want to kill my dad. And they're all kind of looking at him. So April and Fitz are together, and in the middle of all of this, he gets a signaled alarm. Apparently there is a interdimensional invasion filled with a bunch of doppelgangers that are evil. And Fitz ends up saving the day because there's this one ship that's about to blow up, I guess, the city, but he's able to stop it. But in the process, he's basically paralyzed himself from the neck down.
Yes.
And they're wondering, well, somebody's got to, you know, care for him. I guess it's got to be April. She's like, hey, look, we're just having fun.
Oh, that sucks.
I'm only 19.
That sucks. Like, depending how you weighed in on that, it's like either it came off as sweet justice or regardless, even if you think it's justice, he's like, oh, that kind of sucks that it happened the way it did.
Yeah. So, but, you know, his family is there. Fitz, and he's like, oh, look, I can't even look you in the eye after everything that's happened. But the son seems happy. You know, he's like, oh, I got my dad back.
I got back on my dad because now he's confined to a bed. He's paralyzed from the neck down.
Yeah. Kind of ended in somewhat of a bummer.
But then it's you know, what's nice in the sense that his family still loves him. Obviously, the wife, you know, is never going to forgive him. But that despite it all the stuff that happened with the family breaking up, that they still love him enough to hang around, take care of him.
Yeah.
Even though the one girl hit the bricks. First sign of trouble.
Yeah. Hello, Laura, did you ever find out?
Yeah, he was.
He was?
So was Sammy Davis Jr.
They were cultists?
Briefly, they were in the Church of Satan. And Sammy eventually left it and was a Jew again. The thing you gotta remember is...
Was Liberace one the whole time?
As far as they know.
Okay.
The thing is, though, the Church of Satan... was not like sacrificing animals. It was mostly about orgies and hanging out with celebrities. It was kind of like Scientology, but with more sex.
Yeah, and Satan is not exactly who they worship. He's just a figurehead.
Right, right. It's not, you know, there is no God in the Church of Satan. But, you know, people in, what was it, the 70s, they created the, you know, the weird, like, oh, all these kids are going through and they're sacrificing animals in people's houses and they're killing babies. That's not what it was about. LaVey was a carny who found a way to get famous and be friends with famous people. So, you know, not really all that shocking. It was more like a club than a church. Like Sammy Davis Jr. was, I believe, he was like a high priest. Sammy Davis Jr. He got it like the day he joined. It was that kind of thing.
Oh, okay. Deadly Class 14, writer, Rick Remender, art, Wesley Craig.
Yeah, I like this book. Marcus.
An introspective issue.
Maria has disappeared. Remember the last issue, she was poisoned.
Mm-hmm.
And or killed. I'm sure she was killed. By the headmaster. So, you know, she's been gone for several months now. He's all depressed. What did he really like? Did he really love her? Why did she bring him along all along?
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, you know what? Being with Sam would have been so much better. I liked her too. So he's trying to, I guess, confess to her, look, I'm in love with you. I want to be with you. But apparently, his friend Willie was also in love with her and got to her first. So Marcus is feeling all betrayed. And, so, you know, there was a lot of stuff going on with, you know, just about the situation.
Yeah. Saya decides that, you know, she doesn't want to get between the two of them. So she decided just to stay friends.
Yeah. Although I don't think that's what's going on.
Well, that's what obviously it doesn't happen later on in the book. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Marcus, he meets up with this other girl. She's some golf girl.
Mm.
And, he talks to her about, you know, they're at a party and he talks about her problems and he, talks about Maria and he's like, see, I don't think she left. I think she was killed.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, he's starting to, like, piece the puzzle together. Like, I think she's right. And then the answer's been staring at me all along. Sayo's the one who killed her. Because remember, in the last issue, it was heavily, heavily implied that Sayo was the one who snitched on Maria.
Yes.
And got her killed. And the reason why I think she did that was to get back at Marcus.
Mm-hmm.
Not because she wanted to get with Marcus, but because she felt betrayed by Marcus in the beginning because she wanted to be with Marcus. Remember, she was the one who recruited him. And so I think this was all part of her plan, you know. I'm surprised she was still talking. Here's where it doesn't kind of fill in. She was still talking to Marcus after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, in friendly terms, but I don't know if, you know, that was just part of the whole, you know, maybe she wasn't as mad at him, but because he was getting more into drugs and he was getting into fights with Willie, that she's like, you know what, fuck this dude. I did the right thing. So at every point that she got, she made sure to show off that she was with Willie after that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this was intentional.
Huh. I guess we're going to have to wait for the next issue to find out. But I like this book.
Yeah, this is a good issue. That's a good issue.
Rick Remender needs to continue to write books outside of Marvel, and I'll continue and enjoy them. It's just the Marvel stuff I don't much care for. All right.
Speaking of books not written in Marvel.
Imperium number 6, writer Joshua Dysart, art by Scott Eaton.
We're reading this book because it's going to tie into the next Valiant crossover.
Keep in mind, that's the only reason we're reading it. Not because it's, you know, a quality book or anything.
In this issue, they tease the start of the crossover in the most innocuous way possible.
Yeah.
Harada has won, and he is walking down a hall, and he sees Divinity, who doesn't look at him or anything. He's walking away. So he sees a guy in an old-fashioned space outfit. And he kind of looks, and then he says something to someone, he looks back, and he's gone. That was all we got in this issue on that.
Yeah.
However, the next issue is Divinity front and center on the cover with out of there.
Just teasing us.
Yeah, they're teasing the connection, which is very effective.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're doing that.
Yeah, because I think there's a connection because Harada, he looks young, but remember, he's really a decrepit old man when his powers aren't working. So maybe he knew him in the past.
Interesting.
No. He's not old.
Oh.
He was old in this?
No, you're thinking of the first issue when it started out in the future and he was old.
No, but he was old in this too. When he was
old. No, he wasn't.
Yeah, he was. Let me give you the page right now.
Oh, Marvel. I believe you, Marvel, I'm just saying.
The powers that he has are what's keeping him young. But when they use those psionic power dampeners, he was old. Go to, let's see, page, in the second to last page, they show him old, and then he turns young again.
Drop some truth bombs here.
Let me see this.
Oh, Jesus.
Are you sure are you sure you read this?
Really, Marvel, you're going to go there?
Dude, I always read everything. Come on. Okay. I don't need to see art.
And that also happened a couple pages before that, too, where he could barely fire a weapon. There's at least two pages where he's old. And actually, no, three. They show when that psionic thing was dampening his power, and they show him getting old instantly. So there's three pages where he's old. Checkmate.
Ripping off my gimmick. That's gimmick infringement, Marvel. Can we move on? The less said about Imperium, the better. All right, Marvel. Lur, are you good?
Oh, I didn't think it was a bad issue.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's not. It's not particularly.
Well, you also fun. You also skipped the
preceding. Yeah, well,
four issues.
There's a reason. There's a reason why I skipped those.
Yeah, it would help if you would have read those.
Yeah, well,
but you read this and you didn't realize he was old. You read all six issues.
Can we move on to the next segment now?
Yes.
No, right. He's not even that old.
Hey!
What?
We forgot a book.
We did?
We stand on guard number one.
Oh my god, how did I forget that?
Yeah, I know, because that's probably going
to
be my book.
Oh
of the
my
week.
God, we almost forgot to talk about Conan.
Okay, so this book isn't on our list. Because, not my fault, it only had one cover.
We stand on
and they
guard.
Keep laughing at me for this, but you guys gotta understand, most number ones now have variant covers. That's just what they do, especially from big name writers.
Thank you, Marvel. Jesus, I can't believe we almost forgot this, or I almost forgot it.
Yeah. So they usually have variant covers. This one didn't, so I completely missed it. But then, somebody on the board put it over. Mm-hmm. And then I went to a couple other places I talked to people about comics on. They put it over. So then I go to Comic Book Roundup, and all the reviews put it over. And I look at who wrote it. Vaughn wrote it. I love Vaughn.
You spineless.
And it's his new Whittling. It's his new series. Well, no, they could have put it over all day long on fucking Comic Book Roundup. And if,
yeah, that's the
if
thing,
it hadn't.
That's the thing Lura rips me on. When I look at Comic Book Roundup for good reviews, and then I decide to read those books.
Because you don't look at who the writer or artist is, and you don't look at what actual people say. You're just reading these bullshit website reviews. They're like, oh, it had a 9.4. It got reviewed by sites. It got reviewed by joescrustyass.com.
Ooh.
Fucking he gave it a 9.4. It's great. No. That's not what you do. I'm just trying to make sure I didn't miss it. And I realized I missed this. And before I read it, I told Fat Man, and I thought I told Marvel to read it. Because we should read it. And Marvel missed the message, so he didn't read it until right before the show. But they both did read it, and I thought this book was fantastic. It was a great first issue. The art was great. The writing was great. I like the characters.
Yeah, breaking news. Apparently, this is a Brian K. Vaughan guy. Really good writer.
He is, in fact, a talented writer. they set up the entire premise and the entire large parts of the world in the first issue and gave us a cast of characters. Well done.
Yeah, it takes place in the future. 100 years or so.
Yeah, place and in Canada, America of all places. Is besieged by domestic and foreign terrorist attacks and other countries attacking them. And a Canadian family, a rich Canadian family, I don't know if that's going to matter, but, you know, they are. They're sitting, they're watching TV, and the White House has been attacked. And they're wondering who they're going to bomb. Because that's what America does.
Yes.
We get attacked, start bombing some shit.
Good.
And they're discussing, you know, maybe it's the domestic terrorists they've been trying to get rid of, blah, blah, blah. And one of the kids goes, what if we did it?
So didn't we do that already once?
Yeah, and the mom's like, oh, don't even joke about that. She's like, I get fired from my job and shit. And then the United States bombs the shit out of Canada.
It's my time.
Everyone in her family is, except her brother may be alive, are brutally murdered. And, you know, the dad's like missing an arm and a leg, and he's all bleeding out in their crushed building. And he tells the brother, take care of your sister.
No matter what happens.
Yeah. And we skip ahead 10 years, and she's out hunting for food.
She's in one of those territories where nobody lives.
It was very snowy. That's how we knew that. And as she's hunting this deer, some sort of robot wolf thing attacks her. And she it's a United States robot wolf thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets blown up by a group of people. And she questions, like, who are you? Indicating that the Canadian Army was defeated the first week of the invasion.
You don't say. Do tell.
And they point out they are just civilians. They're a rebel group fighting against the Americans. The Americans, not overly capable in this issue, I should point out, because they come upon a gigantic mech. Just a big fuck you, America robot. And four of these guys are able to destroy the robot. It took some effort. They have fancy, you know, they have grappling guns.
Well, they were used to finding these things so much to where, you know, they were, you know, it was sort of like, they were used to finding these things, used to combating. But the fact of the matter is they'd done some modifications to where it caught them by surprise. So even though it still took the four guys to take down, it wasn't as easy as they're used to taking these things down.
Well, no, it was that when they go to crack open the brain of the thing, because it's supposed to be unmanned, and when they open it up, one of the guys with them gets shot in the neck.
Yeah, they open it. There's a driver in there, and he has a pistol, and he immediately shoots the guy who opens the door.
And then he starts, you know, demanding, you know, I surrender, I surrender. The London Convention says you can't do anything, and they're basically like, yeah, fuck you, fucking American dick. And they tell the new girl, the little girl from the beginning of the issue, you know, because they think she might be a spy or something.
Yeah, because she just shows up, and all of a sudden these new man-operated robots start showing up, so they think maybe she's part of it, like bait. And she's all, well, yeah, prove that you're not with the Americans and shoot this American dead.
And she immediately shoots him.
No, but here's the thing. They're sort of debating before she shoots. She's like, oh, shouldn't have to do that. That's kind of screwed up. But then immediately he gets a bullet hole in the middle of the head, and she has the smoking gun.
Yeah, so she hates the Americans. They killed her family.
Mm.
Yeah. They killed the guy who was doing the Superman story.
Yeah, he told us, and Marvel talked to me about this. There was a Canadian there who reasoned that because the original artist of Superman was from Toronto, the entire story was about Superman was Canadian, and he was against the United States. And they blamed the American way part on DC Comics, adding it in later, which this is not true. It can be read that way. Superman is not actually about a Canadian fighting against America.
No.
Superman was originally about a super guy fighting against evil corporations, though.
Mm-hmm.
That is a fact, but it was not about Canada fighting America. He gave the artist all credit and said he was the one who was behind it. That's not true. That's not what actually happened. But it was very cute, and that was the guy who got killed. And they all called him a nerd. For reading comics.
Yeah.
Which is always funny when you're reading a comic.
Yeah.
No, but it was good. And does it set America up as the bad guys? It kinda does.
It doesn't matter. It's a good book. It takes place in a dystopian future. It doesn't really matter to me.
Well, I don't know how dystopian it is. I mean they're in an occupied country.
Yeah, it's not really it's not necessarily dystopian, because
I mean they were all wearing clothes and
yeah.
I guess.
They had technology, and I mean, it's more like under a, we'll see more of what America's like in this, but apparently they're not a very nice people.
No.
Because they were constantly attacked by terrorists. And they got, because in the beginning when they're watching the thing, like I said, they just immediately go, well, who got a bomb? And it wasn't like a joke. because when she brought up what if it was us, the mom got fucking terrified.
She's like, don't even talk that way. They might be listening. You don't know.
Like, yeah, it's not like, you know, it's not like now where, you know, people joke about it. Like, oh, we're going to go fucking drone someone. No, she was deadly serious. And it was serious because they all fucking died. They're just bombing.
The reason she said that was because she had a job where she had a security clearance, and she's like, I can lose my security clearance if we're seeing something like that.
No, but they did bomb them. United States been in control for 10 years.
And apparently they want their water.
Yeah, they have apparently a...
Well, here's the deal about Canada. Canada has the most freshwater lakes of any country in the world.
What happened in America that we ran out of water?
I don't know.
in the 100 years.
Maybe we didn't run out of it. Maybe we just wanted more of it.
Maybe Vaughn lives in California.
Maybe.
And they can't figure out how to get water.
Maybe California took all the water.
Fat man, why doesn't California have more of those desalination plants? You got a fucking ocean by you.
Because I think there's some endangered species or something like that involved.
Oh, fuck the endangered.
Yeah, I know. I know. You're preaching the choir here, but,
what,
dude,
wait,
it's
what's
California.
The endangered species? Is it like a shrimp?
Yeah, it's like a little tiny shrimp. It's the Delta smelt, I think it's called.
Can you eat that?
I don't think it tastes very good, but it's an endangered species. Yeah, I'm looking at it right here. Let's see what it says.
So what you do is you pull them all out and you put them in a little tank. And then you breed them there.
This is,
and
then dude. Any other state, that'd make perfect sense. This is California we're talking about.
Well, I live in Illinois. Illinois wouldn't do it either. Well, they might do it, but then they give it a 90%.
Marvel's the only one living in a state with any, sense of, rationality.
Oh yeah, Marvel's in Texas now.
Yeah, he got a new job and I think this week he moved to Texas, so.
Good
congrats
job,
on
Marvel.
Him. Yes. Alright, with that all the way, let's go. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to overlook that amazing title, that which may in fact be your book of the week.
Great book. Right,
let me finish playing the rest of the song.
The greatest feeling of all time I had all my life.
Okay, considering that you kind of brought it up, is your book of the week We Stand on Guard?
I'm really torn because Cyclops was murdered like a bitch in Secret Wars. However,
I'm curious how the X-Force handled that, by the way. I don't know if any of us have dared to trickle.
Well, they're
going to
say it doesn't matter because he's back after.
Is he? I don't think I saw him on any other teams post Secret Wars.
Well, young Cyclops was.
Oh.
That's so maybe not. Maybe this is how he died. In which case.
Hooray!
Okay. If Cyclops is really dead and we only have young Cyclops, who I kind of like, then retroactively this will be my book of the week. But until I can confirm that happened, We Stand on Guard number one, because I'm such a sucker for good number ones, is my book of the week.
Marvel? I'm still on the fence. I'm going back and forth between a couple of books.
I'm Deadly Class.
Wow. Okay.
I really liked it.
For me, it's a tie between Secret Wars number 4, and I know Laura's gonna laugh at this, I absolutely love Jupiter Circle number 4.
Oh my god.
Part of me wants to do it just to get to you, and honestly, I really like Jupiter Circle 4. And
it,
you know what, I'm gonna
go
with that.
It won't get to me in the way you think it will.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna go with Jupiter Circle 4. Secret Wars doesn't need the love. It's gonna sell just fine by itself. I'm gonna go with Jupiter Circle 4 with the honorable mention to Red Skull number 1.
Yeah, Jupiter Circle needs love because I'm certainly not reading it anymore, so it's lost. It's lost at least one issue sold. Fuck that book, man. I hate it.
Alright.
I hope the art keeps getting worse too.
That's fine. I like the writing. Makes up for it. Alright, let's go into next week's books. Woohoo! You know what comes out next week, right?
Yeah, Archie. 23 variant covers, Archie number 1.
Woo!
With like an all-star list of of artists here. But, you know, Mark Waid, Fiona Staples.
Archie for the win! Pew, 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 pew!
Give it a shot. I so don't have high hopes. I feel like it's going to be like reading 90210, the comic. I still date Meltzer to read it. But we are going to read it for Comic Conversations.
Let's Hooray! It's a big enough book to where you can't just avoid it.
This could be a heavy book, I think. Providence for two.
Yay!
What's Providence again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What book is
apparently
that again?
Apparently it's a monthly.
No, but what book is that? I don't remember.
The greatest comic ever written.
Oh, okay. That book.
You fool.
The Tony Schiavone book. Okay.
Then we're oh, okay, here, this is actually interesting. J.G. Jones and Mark Waid, Strange Fruit, number one.
I read the premise. I'm not really that interested.
This is Eisner bait is what this is, but I'm going to read it because very good artist, very good writer. However, listen to what it's about the Great Mississippi Flood of 1927. It is a challenging, provocative examination of the heroic myth, confronting the themes of racism, cultural legacy, and human nature through a literary lens. John Steinbeck's classic novel of Mice and Men. Two white guys are going to be dealing with a race issue story in 1927 Mississippi. And I don't think either of them is even from the South. Now, one of them is the artist who is very, very good artist.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is a writer who is a very good writer. I have to read this to see how it is, but I have my doubts that these two men can tell this story with any kind of real resonance.
I'm down. I'll read it. It's a number one.
Yeah, Mark Waid. I will try it because I know it's going to look great.
Yeah.
And it'll probably be written good, if a little awkward. But I'm going to try it. This is a new number.
Okay.
We also have Lantern City, number three.
Ooh. We're all down with that book. I'm going to be lightning rounding Batman next week.
Okay.
Is that the rabbit suit?
Yes, this is the second rabbit one. The first rabbit issue I read, it was that one week where we did it on Sunday and you were pressed for time. So maybe I'll try to do a condensed one of both issues. Play some catch up.
Okay.
For me and Fatman, we have all new Section 8, number 2. Apparently, the focus on the series is going to be them trying to find a sixth member of Six Pack.
Yeah.
And in this issue, they try to recruit Green Lantern.
Sounds like a good time.
Yeah. So that will be humorous, I imagine. Are we going to try Constantine again?
I don't care.
No.
You
can lightning round that if you want, but I'm not going to read that again. But you know what? I kind of hope you do lightning round because while I don't want to read, if it gets good, I kind of want to give it another shot.
Okay. Well, yeah, we should at least put that on lightning round. I'll read it. Justice League of America, number two.
That the Brian
confirming,
Hitch
Brian confirming Hitch Brian Hitch did have multiple issues in the can.
Okay.
Because there's no way he put a book out in 2 weeks.
Okay.
Keep
it coming. Keep it coming.
So I gotta be careful because I miss books now.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm running back up, and I think Marvel. I think we have the rule.
No, don't go to Image. That's how I miss books.
Okay.
Star Trek Green Lantern. No, I'm not reading that.
Dynamite.
Oh, we have to read this.
What is it?
Okay, last time I had us read a Rob Liefeld.
I'm not reading it. I don't care.
You have to read it. He's doing the art and the writing on this. And read this with me.
Fuck this.
What is it?
Bloodstrike number one.
And it's an ongoing. I'm not reading this shit.
You said Bloodstrike?
Bloodstrike.
Okay.
Written and drawn by Rob Liefeld. Dude, the cover of this just blowers cramp everywhere.
Let me see.
Amazing.
Let me do a find on this page. Bloodstrike.
It's such a great cover.
Let's see. I'm looking at the Rob Liefeld cover. Let's see. Oh God!
Look at him! Look at him! He drew some feet.
Oh my God! The impossible has happened. He's drawn feet.
Yeah. He only in one of them did he draw 2 feet, and the guy's actually standing in an impossible way, and the perspective is all jacked. But hey, we're gonna get lots of that in Bloodstrike number one. Can't wait.
It shouldn't be so funny, but it is.
I can't wait. I cannot wait for this. Descender number 5.
Yep.
Damn, this is going to be a stack week.
Injection number 3.
God,
have you looked at the covers of this book? Are so gorgeous.
Why am I sure?
Saga 40.
Yeah. Saga
30.
Saga 30. So much time taking time off.
Starve 2.
Ooh,
Walking
Starve.
Dead 144.
God damn.
Yeah.
Then we go to Marvel. This week is going to be trouble. Trouble, 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 trouble.
Whoa!
Can we hurry the fuck up? I'm about to watch New Japan.
All right. 1872, number one. Steve Rogers is a sheriff.
Oh, I saw the preview for that. That's going to be awesome.
In the boom town of Timely. That's cute.
Boom.
No. Age of Apocalypse, no. Number one. No?
No. Marvel?
No. No.
I'm reading this.
Okay. Go ahead.
And I bet it's good.
Please try to read this before Saturday, so if it's good, I can read it.
I will. Amazing Spider-Man, Renew Your Vows, number 2.
Okay. Renew your vows. Okay. Keep it
Civil
coming.
War number 1.
Oh, so I read the preview for that as well. That's going to be good.
And that's Soul's writing it.
Yeah,
so.
That's going to be, ooh. That made me contender for Book of the Week right there, right off the bat.
Ghost Racers number 2.
Is Ghost Racers one word or two? One word, right?
Two words.
Two words.
Oh, okay.
Ghost Racers.
Continue.
Master of Kung Fu, number 3.
Hooray! Oh, we're so spoiled next week.
Runaways, number 2.
Ooh, yes. More Molly action.
Secret Wars, 2099.
Oh, my God. Too much good stuff.
Yeah, this is going to be heavy, heavy week.
It ain't a heavy week, it's my brother.
Spider Island number 1, I'm willing to skip this.
Yeah, I'll skip that one, I don't care.
I feel we are reading enough spider books.
Spider-Verse number 3.
If I have time, I'll lightning round.
Okay, that's fine, let's hurry.
Spider-Verse.
Marvel, you can always
three.
Just sign off, we can do the rest of the show without you, Marvel. If you're
yeah,
that
you can leave,
hurry.
Marvel.
No, I'm typing up all the books to know which ones I'm reading.
Well, so am I.
He puts them on the website. Spider-Verse number 3. Squadron Sinister, number 2. Star Wars Lando, number 1.
Star Wars 6, was that? Oh, that's second printing, okay.
Yeah, Lando, I got that.
Bloodshot Reborn, number 4. What is that, like 37 books?
I don't know.
Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4.
That's all.
5, 6,
that's it.
7, 8, 9, 10, 11,
Go.
12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24 books in all.
There's going to be some lightning around.
Well, there, yeah.
I shudder to think that all these books are actually really good.
You have
except
two,
Bloodstrike.
You have 2 lightning round books, and I have one lightning round book.
Okay.
All right. So with that all out of the way, from all of us at halfguarded.com, thanks for checking out the show. And as always, see you guys next week. Adios!